My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hey guys, I have a long time listener. She goes all the way back to basically the beginning. I've got Catherine in Delaware on the phone, and I'm pretty excited to hear the story because I know some of the basics of it. I know that there's elements of this that go all the way back to the Spanish flu. So I know that's early 1900s, and it's going to go all the way up through today. So first of all, Catherine, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be on the show. Like you said, longtime listener and first time caller.
Well, technically I called you. So
to be fair.
All right, Catherine. So you've told me bits and pieces of the story and you sent me doorbell footage, video footage, pretty crazy stuff. So I can't wait to hear the backstory because I've heard none of this yet. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you and I'm going to let you just have at it.
Okay. Well, I guess to get started, you know, this is all taking place on Maryland's Eastern Shore, where I grew up, and it's really a smaller farming rural community. And the story kind of starts back in 1910, where the house that my parents will end up buying in the late 60s, it was built in 1910, and it sits on the home farm, which is about 80 acres. And the Harris family built this house, and they were farmers, and they were doing really well up until World War One and the Spanish flu started to kind of come around. And for those of you guys that don't know, you know, the Spanish flu began in 1918, and it was pretty lethal for 10 people that were between the age of 10 and 30. So it was a pretty rapid death if you couldn't get to help, or if you couldn't get to at least antibiotics and a ventilator support, you know, like an ICU setting for today. Mm-hmm. But even then, even if you did get to, you know, ideal situation and you were in the doctor's care, still 25% of those people died. And again, they were mostly younger people. So you can probably tell where I'm going with this story, but the Harris family was no different than 25% of other families out there that had contracted Spanish flu, and they did lose someone. Her name was Miss Harris, Anna Harris. She was born in 1894, and at the time of her death, she was about 25 years old, and she was 8 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from what I was able to gather from my dad, who grew up in this house, and my aunt, and as well as actually Miss Harris's granddaughter, she passed away in that house in what was my aunt's bedroom until she was about 14. And my aunt would get really scared because she would always hear the door opening, kind of creaking at nighttime. She thought it was my grandmother messing with her. But my grandmother always said it wasn't her. So eventually, my aunt, being the good oldest sister that she was to my dad, who was her youngest brother, she switched bedrooms with him. Rather, she voluntold him to switch bedrooms with her, I think. But dad said he never noticed anything ghostly once they had switched rooms. But to kind of go back to when Miss Harris had passed away, she passed away in the house in what would have been one of the front bedrooms. And she actually, at that time, they had the wake in the house. They would have had it in the great room. They had her wake there and they kept her body there until they were ready to bury her. And her son, her granddaughter said that, you know, Miss Harris's son, the lady telling the story's father, he remembered people coming in and wearing like kerchiefs over their faces to get through, you know, kind of like now in COVID time, like we're wearing mm-hmm. masks. And he says, you know, he told his daughter, He said, you know, I just remember from that day, I just remember my dad telling me to go get my good shoes and put them on because we had to, you know, we had some people coming over and we had to say goodbye. So, you know, that's kind of Miss Harris's basic story. But I will tell you, even today, the house sits empty. My grandparents have both passed away and the house sits empty. My dad, he owns the house now. And my mom has, you know, like the little Christmas candles that you can put on the windowsills.
Yes.
That a lot of people put them on battery timers. Well, my mom does that. And there is this one step, this one window on the landing going up the stairs. Every time my mom comes back, it's been knocked over. And there's no good reason that it should be knocked over. And, you know, talking about that landing, it's a really eerie place when you're in the house. And I remember growing up, that spot on the landing was really unsettling. You always just got this very uncomfortable feeling going up there. So, you know, as a little kid spending a lot of time at my grandparents, I hated going up those stairs. But the only bathroom in the house was on that second story. So you had to go up there. But it was like, oh, I hated doing it. It just, you always got just the most uncomfortable, unsettling feeling. And my middle sister said the same thing. She said she got a really uncomfortable, eerie feeling as well. You know, just kind of little things like that. We were always told to stay out of the attic. My grandmother would tease us at Halloween time that Blinky Eyes lived up there, which was actually a ghost that she did make up to keep us out of the attic so that we wouldn't see where the Christmas presents and whatnot were. But, you know, she was always very transparent about that. But then when talking about Miss Harris and, you know, that history, it was a completely different tone kind of growing up and hearing it. So then, you know, we get to, you know, even now, just you saw the date on those, it was trail cam pictures that I had sent you. My dad started noticing, he was getting a lot of blank trail cam pictures and he has it set up. I don't know if you guys do this in Kentucky, but that's his security system. He's got a trail cam set up and it's kind of a low budget security system, but you know, the house is empty. So for him, he wants to make sure that nothing's going sideways. So he was starting to notice a lot of, you know, kind of blank pictures that were popping up. And the more we looked at them, the more we would find things with, you know, kind of these little misty kind of hazes off to one side. And, you know, the two that I had sent you, the one that triggered it, there was a deer in the one picture, but you could see, and I don't know, did you and Tracy get a chance to really look at it and see what it looked like off to the one side?
I looked at it. Tracy didn't. She gets freaked out by those kind of things, but, but yeah, I could see something. I couldn't completely make out what it was, but I could tell there was definitely something there.
Yeah. So we've been getting, you know, a fair amount of pictures like that have been popping up on the trail cam. And it's just, it's kind of just, it's interesting. It's interesting.
So when you looked at the picture, what did you think it was?
Oh my gosh. Looking at it, you know, I feel like you can see a woman with long, like kind of silvery, lighter colored hair. Of course, dark eyes and then like a nose. You can kind of see a nose coming down. That's, you know, kind of off to the one side. And then on the other picture with the deer, again, it looks like the same, like a woman, but it looked like a little bit darker of a face in that picture.
Now, is your dad, is he a believer in this kind of stuff? When he saw the footage, did he think, oh, there's something up? Or did he just think, eh, something's wrong with the cameras or it's just a glitch or something?
Well, you know, I think we're all kind of the same, on the same page. You know, we're all kind of skeptical, but we're open to it. So when he started to see it, and this actually isn't the first time that we've caught, you know, kind of a strange picture like that. We were doing a ghost walk. This was several years ago. My sister caught in a cemetery in another town, another small town, about 20 minutes from this place, a picture. So, you know, he was open to believing that. He knew that he was there. He didn't Photoshop that. And then when we saw these pictures, you know, both of my parents were really just kind of like, wow, this is something. This is interesting.
Would you have a problem with those pictures being posted in the group so people can see what we're talking about?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure to share them. Absolutely.
Awesome. That would be great. This is kind of a nosy question, but I know situations similar to this, but what's the reason that the house is vacant right now? Obviously, your grandparents are gone, so that's the reason that they're not living there. But is it something that your dad's just, your parents are just holding on to for a while, or is there a reason why they're not selling it or moving into it, or tell me?
Well, so it's the home farm, and my dad is a farmer. You know, he and my mother bought a farm. It's actually on the other side of town. In the early 90s. And then when my grandparents decided that they were going to retire, my grandmother had been a nurse her entire life. My grandfather was a farmer, and they decided, hey, you know, we always wanted to live in Virginia. So they picked up and retired down in Virginia. And so then the house just sat empty, and Dad continues to till the farm even now, you know, corn and wheat and soybeans, but the house is just, you know, it's kind of in a state of disrepair, and it really needs a lot of work before it would be habitable again.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. But I keep saying, you know, it's Miss Harris's house, and we've got to fix it. We can't tear it down.
So what kind of experiences have you had in the house, or have you had any?
So, you know, I'm going to be honest. Other than just feeling incredibly uncomfortable and not knowing, you know, really it was probably in the last 5 years of my life that I really kind of put the pieces together that Miss Harris actually did pass away in the house, which I already knew, but, you know, it was one of those things you don't really think about.
Right.
But I didn't know that she had passed away in that front, you know, kind of parlor area. So, you know, that's where her service was. And she had passed away in one of the upstairs bedrooms. And just that really uneasy feeling on the landing, you know, that was the biggest thing, and feeling so uneasy. And I'm not somebody who, you and I were talking, and you can see I'll talk to a brick in the wall. I'm not somebody who's completely uncomfortable anywhere. And that was, you know, to me, that was just a very, very strange thing, to feel uncomfortable in my own grandmother's house, who I've spent essentially every weekend with growing up.
Yeah, that if you're getting some kind of uneasiness, must be something there. You're picking up on something, whether you realize it or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my grandmother, she actually, the nursing home that she worked at, and I didn't tell you about this, so this is kind of, I guess it'll still be a surprise. The nursing home that she worked at, I had worked at, you know, much later. We never worked there together. But I believe it was haunted as well. The long-term care unit, it was a locked unit for dementia patients. But it used to be an acute rehab. And there was one patient at the end of the hall who, she did have dementia. But she would say all the time, you know, there's a little boy in my room. That little boy, he just ran out. And we would always see things at that end of the hall going from that residence room to the other room on the other side of the hall. And it was just, you know, kind of that fleeting, just something shooting across out of the peripheral field. But yeah.
Yeah, I would be surprised if every nursing home that's been open for longer than a year doesn't have something going on haunting-wise.
Absolutely. Nursing homes are... they're sad places.
Yes, they are. Catherine, it's been a blast having you on. I'm glad you decided to share those stories and share the pictures with us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to do so. And it's great talking to you guys finally. Well, to you finally.
Yeah, it's typically me on these things. I appreciate you making the time for us. I reached out yesterday on social media. I had somebody that was supposed to come on, but they had to cancel last minute. So I wanted to get a couple more stories for our bonus episode, and gladly you stepped in and a couple others. So
absolutely. Well, I'm glad to help out.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again in the future.
Absolutely.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.